The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
The severe heat advisory we've been telling you about is wiping out some Bay Area youth sports schedules today. KCBS's Matt Bigler has more from Walnut Creek.
From football to soccer, many East Bay school districts are changing their practice schedules due to the heat advisory. Jack plays flag football at Contra Costa Christian.
Are you playing today when it's like 100 degrees?
No, because it got canceled because of the heat.
Softball and cross country were also canceled for today. At other schools, cross country runs were being moved indoors. Think lots of laps around the gym. But not everyone is fleeing the sun. Danny was still playing competitive beach volleyball with his friends, albeit early in the morning.
Are you doing anything differently on days like this when it gets really warm?
Yes, I am making sure to stay hydrated. You wouldn't let your car get super low on oil and then drive it in the heat. Think of your body as a machine like that and take care of it. That's all it really is.
Remember, if you feel thirsty, you're probably already dehydrated. In Walnut Creek, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
San Francisco having one of its hottest days of the year. As KCBS's David Welch reports, that sends a lot of people looking for a fan.
Only about a third of homes here have air conditioning. That makes a functioning box fan a hot commodity. Larry with Cole Hardware in Coal Valley says those still looking for one usually give themselves away.
In general, when it's hot, they have a look of desperation about them, whether they're buying a fan or not.
This is the first real heat wave of the year, and that's a big reason why Larry still has fans to sell. Another week like this, he says, and they'll all be gone. So I asked him the question everybody listening to this interview was already thinking.
Who in their right mind lives in San Francisco and doesn't have a fan already?
I can't answer that without being disparaging.
Martin doesn't own a fan. He was one of those people listening. He says for him, it all depends on an address.
If your house is designed correctly and you're lucky enough to be at the edge of a hill where the wind sweeps up and down all day and all year long, you don't need a fan.
Looks like we're all moving in with Martin. In San Francisco, David Welch, KCBS.
Crews have stopped forward progress on a fire that burned 45 acres in Napa County. The Steel Fire started around 10 a.m. south of Lake Berryessa and prompted officials to issue evacuation warnings for about 300 homes, which are now lifted. No structures were damaged, no one was injured, but no word yet on the cause. And the smoke in the Bay Area has cleared for now. The second day of a prescribed burn on Angel Island has been canceled because of air quality concerns. CAL FIRE and the Marin County Fire Department say Tuesday's burn accomplished several key goals, but after evaluating conditions with the Bay Area Air District, officials decided against continuing the operation today. The agencies say they'll resume the burn when conditions improve. And as the Giants season nears an end, so does the career of longtime broadcaster and all-star pitcher Mike Kruko. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports many are lining up to honor Kruk ahead of his final game in the booth.
That final series will be against the rival Dodgers, and the Giants have some big plans in the works.
There'll be lots of surprises in the booth and outside the booth and after the game.
Giants president and CEO Larry Baer says fans can also send their Atababe well wishes by phone, email, and a Dropbox for handwritten notes.
It's super bittersweet, right? And we love Mike. We don't want him to leave the broadcast. He'll still be around.
Add to it a beer being brewed in honor of the legendary Giants figure, the Fieldwork West Coast IPA, fittingly named Grab Some Pine Meat. Fieldwork CEO Barry Braden.
That's what we're calling the beer, and we think it's a nice homage to Mike and just the what he's meant to us as baseball fans.
Braden says proceeds will also benefit a charity of Kruko's choosing. The beer will be available starting that final weekend series.
You know, he's been part of our broadcasts, lives now for so long, and it's going to be a void.
Mike DeWald, KCBS.
And it's no Halloween trick. The city of Berkeley has seen 5 rabid bats this year compared to the usual 0 to 2. This is in the north and west parts of the city. But before you dismiss bat warnings, we have a cautionary tale from inside our own KCBS family. Here's more from KCBS reporter Holly Kwan.
They say not to touch a bat, dead or alive, but what if it flies at your face and grazes your forehead? That's what happened last Thursday night to KCBS reporter Shannon Golden, who was at her family cabin in the Colorado Mountains. All the medical help said any physical contact requires treatment, and that means rabies shots.
So it's definitely a scary feeling. And so I went to the ER the next morning and waited for the shots. And the first round, you get two. You get the rabies vaccine as well as an immunoglobulin, which helps kind of kickstart your immune system. And that one really hurts.
The bat escaped, so it can't be tested. Now back in the Bay Area, Shannon's got a series of three more shots on tap before she's cleared. Holly Kwon, KCBS.
Well, earlier today, Apple unveiled the long-awaited iPhone Duo, the first ever foldable iPhone. But are people amped to get their hands on it? KCBS's Danny DeCrescenzo is camped outside the Apple store in San Francisco's Union Square. Danny?
Yes, Rebecca. So I've talked to a bunch of people outside the Apple store here in San Francisco. Some of the employees I talked to on background said people who come into the stores were super excited. They did a presentation earlier coinciding with the event today where the iPhone Duo was revealed. This is the largest and thinnest iPhone ever. It's been described by Apple's new CEO, John Ternus, as the most transformational change to any piece of hardware they've ever released since 2007, the year the original iPhone came out. But it was a different story when I was walking around San Francisco asking people if they were interested in the phone. Keep in mind, it starts at $2,000. Pre-order begins in mid-October before a late October release. And I wasn't hearing a lot of enthusiasm. I have Ian with me from San Francisco. Ian, you told me you just heard about the phone this morning. No other information about it. You're not really following it closely?
Yeah, that's correct. I heard basically nothing about the phone. I just found it on my my news headline this morning.
And are you amped for this? Or do you think it's something that you would actually look into?
Well, I mean, I think for me personally, you know, in full disclosure, I just purchased an iPhone, so I personally don't think I have any current interest in the product. I'm not very knowledgeable about these type of phones, so I really don't know how or if in any time in the future I'd be interested in it.
Yeah, and the price point, $2,000, that's to start. That's to start. It goes up to almost $4,000. Do you think that's really worth it for a phone? Do you find that that's a price point you would pay for this? You know, obviously this advanced piece of technology, it's foldable, it's huge, has better camera, battery life, the whole bells and whistles.
I mean, I can understand how, you know, a phone like that is being sold at such a price point. I don't think that it's a reasonable price point. I don't imagine anyone, including myself, would be interested in paying $2,000 starting for such a phone. You know, my own phone, you know, I got on discount. I can't imagine any phone being worth that amount of money. Yeah,
and Rebecca, this is what I've been hearing from everybody around San Francisco. It sounds like a cool novelty idea, but when the rubber meets the road, they either have a phone that they're comfortable with, they're on an upgrade schedule of a couple years, they're not looking to get it, or they're not really an Apple geek. They're not following it super closely. They weren't even knowledgeable about it. A lot of people were like, the iPhone what now? So right now, it remains to be seen how much this penetrates the public consciousness. I'm sure as we get closer to October, more and more people will start to hear about it. Maybe they'll start to put in that pre-order. And when people actually get their hands on it in Apple stores, seeing it in action, maybe Apple will get the resonance they're looking for. But for right now, it seems to be a pretty muted release in Apple's backyard here in San Francisco. Reporting live from Union Square, Danny DeCrescenzo, KCBS.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Danny. Certainly interesting. We'll just have to wait and see. I kind of want to see what one looks like in person. It is National Recovery Month, which is a chance to celebrate all those on their road to healing, including from substance use disorder. KCBS's Shannon Golden met one man in San Francisco to hear his story of recovery.
Francisco has a lot of things to celebrate this month. A new apartment, a new puppy, and 1 year sober.
It feels like heaven, you know. I thank God that I'm here. And, you know, every night when I go to sleep, I'm just happy that I'm here and that I'm doing this. And I never forget what I survived.
Before COVID, he managed his fentanyl addiction while holding down a job, a home, and a family life. But a layoff pushed him over the edge.
And I was, you know, alone, started isolating myself, started coming out here to the Tenderloin more. Like, the Tenderloin would chew you up and spit you out.
Cycles of treatment and overdoses followed, including one he almost didn't survive.
Seeing my family members in that hospital room, like, I don't want to let them down or myself down.
One night, he got help from a night navigator who connected him with a doctor through the city's BEAM program that got him on monthly buprenorphine shots. They quieted his cravings, allowing him to focus on getting a job, housing, and most importantly, rebuilding his relationship with his teenage daughters.
Just to hear them say, "Dad, I'm proud," and just to be able to share that and see the smile on their face is everything.
In San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
And student test scores in the U.S. are lower than they've been in more than two decades. In our daily Ask an Expert segment today, we ask why that is and how much it really matters. Here's KCBS's Anta Shaheen.
Technology and an increased reliance on AI, changes in education policy, even lingering effects from the pandemic, all of that to blame, said USC education professor Morgan Polakoff.
The real answer is we don't know the exact cause, and probably it's all of these things and also other things.
He said evidence on AI's role is still only suggestive, but for a lot of people, it is the most obvious culprit.
AI is something that can basically do all your thinking for you. It's totally rational to believe that this would have serious impacts on our development. So that's why I think you're seeing tech-related backlash happening, where schools and districts are banning technology and things like that.
Whatever it is, it doesn't bode well for the future.
We might not like to believe it, but what students actually know and can do as measured on these tests is predictive of the kinds of success they have as an adult.
And we're seeing that with college professors complaining about students' lack of readiness. Polakoff said even the workforce is seeing young people who can't read a paragraph and apply it to their job. Anta Shaheen, KCBS.
Well, often heat waves are just sweltering in the areas around the bay, but this one is hitting San Francisco pretty hard as well. KCBS's Megan Goldsby talked to some locals making the best of it in the Outer Mission. Megan?
Yeah, Rebecca, that's really all you can do when this heat gets you down.
My name is Tiago. When I was in school, the slides were hot and I burned myself.
But he says his teacher did bring out squirt gun.
Did your teacher spray you with water?
Yeah, with water balloons.
No, that does sound like a fun day. Do you wish it was hot like this every day?
Yes.
So we have to remember that kind of energy. This is fun for folks too when it gets us down. His mom Jocelyn channeling her six-year-old.
Well, you know, it's unexpected, but we like it. We like to come and eat ice cream and then go to the beach too.
Why not? We get a shorter summer, so we might as well take advantage.
Yes, and it's, you know, like we got our summer very, very at the end of the year, so we just might enjoy it.
Girl Harmony was enjoying it. She was in the big group here at Mitchell's Ice Cream on San Jose Avenue.
I feel like 100 degrees out here, so I'm saying it's going to be like very hot. I feel like it's going to be very hot like tomorrow.
It probably will be very hot tomorrow, but you know what? Today's an even hotter day. What do you like to do when it's hot?
I like to get ice cream, and I've been dreaming to be on the news.
It's a perfect day.
Dreams come true out here. Reporting live in the Mission, Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
That's so sweet. I hope that she has a career in journalism ahead, especially if she gets assignments where she gets to go eat ice cream.
Exactly. Hard ones.
All right. Thank you so much, Megan.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.